The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're on the last page here, the doctrine of SG3. Roman numeral 11. All right, let's be sure that we are in fellowship with God through the use of 1 John 1:9 if we need to do so, and maintain that during the course of the time we are together so that you can profit to the maximum. Obviously, you made it here. So in order to profit spiritually, you've got to put aside everything. We are told to lay aside various things in the Bible that emphasize isolation of the sin nature and getting ourselves in fellowship so that we can be further informed and encouraged with regard to our eternal reward package, because it's coming and it's going to be for every believer according to their application of Bible doctrine. And this is eternal wealth that does not pass away, as noted. It is not temporal. It is permanent and eternal. Nothing can happen to it. It is as secure as your salvation. If you have SG3 already laid up in heaven, which I assume that you do, then you can be assured that you will receive the blessings associated with it and enjoy your SG3 for your many applications of Bible doctrine forever and ever and ever. In the eternal state, you will be able to reap eternal life. Not just have eternal life, but reap it. And that refers to the blessings that God has reserved for those who take Him seriously. This is where we break from the worldview that it's all about, you know, jamming it all in this life. That you cash in for SG3. You won't regret it, obviously. So this is your opportunity to be in fellowship and to be further encouraged with regard to all the ways in which we can garner SG3. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You qualify us as Your children to approach the throne of Your grace at any time. We thank You for Your grace that enables us to recover spiritually from being out of fellowship so that we can glorify You and enjoy the blessings of time and build up our eternal rewards account. Continue to enlighten us and encourage us with regard to this topic. In Christ's name, amen. Life is full of testings. There's a separate doctrine, the doctrine of testing, as it is for the believer. And testing is a part of our life on this earth, inevitably. There are a variety of tests. But for the believer, these tests are designed by God to perfect us spiritually, to build us up spiritually, and to develop our capacity for absolute total trust in God, no matter what kind of difficult circumstances may come our way. So testing is the basis for SG3, and of course other benefit is as you pass tests and go through tests, you become a better believer. Let's put it that way. You make spiritual progress. And this would be basically true in a lot of areas of human endeavor, that people test people in a good way. You know, And so we are tested in a variety of ways. And there is the testing that inevitably comes with that comes to us as a result of the hostility that the world has for God and His plan. So, you know, from time to time, they take it out on us. So we just have to recognize that that's a part and parcel of living in this particular environment. And these tests and these trials, which is featured here in 1 Peter specifically as persecution, that inevitably is the lot of every believer at some point or another. Now, another thing about testing that you should know is, and it's commonly known, people say it all the time that have any familiarity with the Bible, that God will not put on you more than you can handle. He is sensitive to His children, knows exactly what they can handle. So we can never say, I'm being tested beyond my capacity to handle it. I mean, we could say that, but we wouldn't be right. We would be obviously operating in the face of a clear statement of Scripture. So God is the one who is involved with regard to our testings and our sufferings. And if we suffer in His name, if we suffer and persevere and endure and not allow these things to throw us off track and, you know, implode our faith and we walk away from the truth and all that nonsense because we're being tested. And so testing is the basis for SG3. You're going to get a reward for these trials, as they are called here in 1 Peter 1, 6, and 7, a variety of trials as you make your journey through phase 2. As you stay with the truth, stand up for doctrine, you are going to face a variety of trials. And it shouldn't be discouraging. It is a part of Scripture, like everything else. And we accept that. And by standing firm and staying in there, that's evidence of your faith, the quality and character of your faith and your positive volition. You become, therefore, an example to others who are aware of what you're going through as an encouragement. And getting off on that, every test that you go through, as you strive to pass that test and stay in fellowship and in prayer, God will give you a variety of encouragements. The test doesn't go away necessarily. Tests come and go, but while you're in it, He will provide you with encouragement. But you have to receive it. And the only way to receive it is you've got to be in fellowship. You got to be, you know, you have to be alert and aware of what's going on around you to see the kind of things that God moves into your life to encourage you. So you're encouraged in the midst of your test. That's another scripture and another thing. So keep that in mind. It isn't all, you know, without, you know, the silver lining, and that is you see the hand of God, you see His encouragement as you go through these various trials, as they're called in the verse we wrote out here in point 11. And this, in God's eyes, is more precious than gold, which is perishable. It's of greater value, way greater value. You and I enduring, testing, going through it, seeing it through. Because for every test, there is a deliverance. God will deliver you. And of course, there's the deliverance of going to phase 3. That's the ultimate deliverance. You're delivered from everything. But God delivers His children. He allows them to be put in these situations. Because without them, we don't develop spiritually. We just log in a bunch of doctrine and we wouldn't develop spiritually. Yeah, we would be able to say this and that, but we don't develop spiritually. God tested Abraham. God tested these saints. He put them through things. And He rewarded them in time. And of course, their reward in eternity will be obvious. So it is more precious than gold, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's where we all want to stand. We want to stand in that circle of praise, glory, and honor. Not shame coming up for the Christians, for the believers who do not get harnessed in with the truth and stay with it, come thick or thin. In the good times, so-called, and the difficult times. We noted that. We looked at Matthew 5, went up. Persecution for the faith results in SG3. And you are blessed. Your reward in heaven is great. That's a category of great reward. You'll be able to look back on that and realize, oh, that's just awesome. That's just beyond comprehension. What God has rewarded me with for enduring those times of persecution, opposition. And the greater it is, the more it is, the greater your reward. There is testing regarding to the physical body, 2 Corinthians 4:17, which we all need to, sooner or later. We're going to have health tests. We got a variety of them in this church. Got the walking wounded. But people still, you know, in a lot of cases, manage to get here. Pull themselves together, come to Bible class. Now, you're not asking you to come to Bible class if you got a raging fever or, you know, if the doctor doesn't want you out running around. Obviously, common sense prevails. But, you know, we have these tests. And again, as I always make fun of people who, well, it's too hard to come to Bible class, and yet they run around all over the place and get involved in events and go to things. That's a lot more strenuous than this. This isn't particularly strenuous. So 2 Corinthians 4:17 describes it as, and in Maranatha Church, we have pointed out to you that the soul is the real you. That's our vocabulary. The outer man is the outer you, the overt, what we all see. The real you is the soul. So you have a body. And your body suffers various things through time. And even though our outer man is decaying, presence of the death gene, aging gene, you may not, if you're young, you may not be aware of that. It isn't in your face yet, okay? But eventually, with time, it gets in our face. We're young, and then all of a sudden, we see the effects of the aging factor. Well, even though our outer man is decaying, there's a science behind all of this, the breakdown, that why the cells don't replicate themselves, because the cells are all reproducing themselves. They die out in our bodies and new ones are replaced, even the bone cells. Well, sometimes they're not as good as the first bunch were. You know, the printer doesn't print as clear a copy the next time. And so the effect is that we have this aging factor. And yet our inner man, and again, he's speaking to positive saints, not, you know, negative types. These are people that are with the truth. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Assembly, intake of Bible doctrine, you are renewed. You are refreshed. It's like, you know, hitting the refresh button on your computer. You are refreshed. Like taking a very tired and get a good night's sleep. You are therefore refreshed, ready to get up and go at it again. Even though you're dog tired, the night before, when you went to bed, you wake up and under normal circumstances, you are refreshed through sleep. So Bible doctrine is the refreshment of the soul. Where you get to the point where your sensitivity factor is, I got to be there. I've got to be there. I've been out here in the cosmos. I've been dealing with all this, my SDA, and all the other things that we deal with on a daily basis. even things, you know, we're going to be exposed to the world. We can guard against some things, but we're going to be exposed to the cosmos and exposed to it, our own sin natures and all the rest of this that's going on. I got to go somewhere where it's sane, where reality is dealt with, God is dealt with, what I'm all about, what my future is, how to handle things now. I got to get there. Yeah, I got problems and I got these issues going on, but I'm going to go and I'm going to get in Bible class. And some nights you may not feel like it. Me too. You know, the weakness of the flesh. You know? And yet it's just, you have to overrule it. You know, sometimes you're gung-ho to get here. Sometimes you're just, this has been one of those days. I just want to kick back, have a martini, grill a steak. But think how your conscience is violated if you're sitting home doing that and we're here in Bible class. I mean, you may not get any major divine discipline other than you violated your conscience. You should have been here. So, to get that renewal factor. We don't last a lot. We're the kind of an item that is highly perishable. if you're not in Bible class on a regular basis and you get separated from it, we all, me included, we go down, down, down. Unless there's some special circumstances where a person can't be here and we try to help them out. We have technology now to get them the Bible classes. You know, whether they're in, if they were in a hospital or if they were bedridden or couldn't be here. Yes, we have a way to get that to them. You know, and God understands that, but the rest of us, we need to be in Bible class. You know, I harp on that all the time because this is the truth. And somebody once said to me, "Why are you always on that? We're all here." I'm trying to persuade other people to wake up and smell the coffee and get here. And as I speak, I have people that are lackadaisical. I don't know what all the reasons are. I probably don't want to know the reasons. I mean, I'm looking at people who had a steady, you could count on them like clockwork, and then all of a sudden that's changed. It's not that they completely walked away, but what are they doing? What happened in their niche and circumstances that they actually can come around to a Bible class time and not get here? I'll bet they get to their job. And I'll bet they're on time because they want that check at whenever they get paid, don't they? They don't want to get fired. And this is greater wealth than that. That's very important. But this is important to your spiritual life. So this is basics. We're not, obviously, like other churches. This is different. We recognize that we're to be doing this all the more as we see the day coming. And we see it coming. So anyone who is around you who discourages you in that way, mark them out. You may not be able to get away from them because of some relationship thing. But draw a circle around them. This person is trying to drag me down spiritually. Note that person. You don't have to hate them. Just note them. That they are stumbling, a potential stumbling block to my faith. And that's your test. To see if you will override that where you have this discouragement factor. Oh, you don't need to do that. Well, you can go to this church. Well, you can do this and that. Think it through. So this is the renewal of the inner man, day by day. I have a lot of doctrine, a lot of experience. Without this environment and doing this, I think really, in a short order, I'd be a wreck. I wouldn't know where to turn. I've got to have the truth. It's like, you know, your favorite food, assuming it's healthy. I've got to use that. I have my favorite food. The things I really like. I have a terrific steak parmesan recipe that I have perfected over the years. And for $10, you can have the recipe. Just kidding. It is awesome. If you like Italian and you like steak. If you don't bother me with it. But you got to do what I tell you to, or you won't like it. Okay? So you feed your body, and you don't. And I've noticed people don't tend to, I'll just skip today. You know? But people, to gain strength and you know, so forth. So that's spirit, that's physical food, and the doctrine is what that is. Your soul feeds. That's why it's the Bible doctrine is called manna, the food of the Jews in the wilderness. It was an illustration. All right. For momentary light affliction, you might not agree with this when you're under the gun, but you would agree that it's momentary. It is going to go away. It isn't going to last forever. Now, don't get any ideas that you can't have long, drawn-out tests. You can. There's little short ones. Where are my keys? Where are my keys? I can't find my keys. Mine is, where's my wallet? This dummy laid it down somewhere where he doesn't usually lay it down, and because his thinking isn't that good, he completely forgets where he put it. So the tendency is to get out of fellowship, worry about it, because I've got so many hundreds of dollars in it. Kinds of high-class credit cards that the sky's the limit. Just kidding. But I get nervous about it. So I just got to get in fellowship. All right, God, help me to find that fill-in-the-blank wallet. Please. And he does. He helps me out. We lose things. And so forth, and there we are. So, it's momentary. I know of believers in the Bible, and I know of believers who their testing was pretty much took up in a certain area. And you learn to deal with it for the big portion of their life. But it's momentary. Light affliction. Now, that one you would argue with, maybe. Light affliction. God doesn't put on something that's, the Christian life is so hard. It's not what the Bible tells me. Jesus said, take up my yoke. It's light. My burden, it's light. It depends on your mindset and where you get yourself spiritually. How is that person handling that so beautifully with a great attitude? They've prepared themselves spiritually. That's how they're doing it. They're looking in the right way, thinking the right thoughts, and we all shudder, maybe looking at their test. They're dealing with it properly. I can say from personal experience, when you get yourself where you need to be, you know God's in control, and he's working everything for your good, and he sometimes works in mysterious ways, and you get it all lined out, and the doctrine's in front of you, it becomes a whole lot lighter test than obviously it would have otherwise. I know this from personal experience. You saw me go through a serious health test. Parts of it were just flat fun. I just kept seeing the hand of God working things out. See, I had to sit back. That was my encouragement. I had to sit back and say, okay. And thank God and move on as the thing developed. Yeah, there were moments. We all have moments. But, this is what God's doing. You say, I just think it was all divine discipline and he's killing me. Well, if it is divine discipline, you can figure that out too. Repent of it, and then it changes over from cursing to blessing, and there you are. You get on top of it. You deal with it with an attitude that is completely different from the woe is me, falling apart crowd. It's where you get that, spiritual muscle. Iron in the soul concept. Where you're different than the average person that's freaking out and all resorting to whatever. People have told me their own testimonies of different situations where they had peace where you normally would think people don't have peace. My peace I give to you, and I give it to you not just when everything is nice, the world has its own kind of peace, and everything's wonderful, life's wonderful, and everything's great, and pull these things out, and then where are they? We know where they're at. We don't have to go there. It's light affliction. is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Anything of this life that's great and wonderful, and we all can see and observe perhaps things that, you know, in the realm of the temporal are great, this strips that, this beats this, there's no contest. And so we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not. We look not at the things which are seen. In other words, this isn't our preoccupation. That isn't first and foremost. We like the things we see, a lot of these things, but we guard ourselves against allowing them to destroy us spiritually and make that our end all and be all. But the things which are not seen, until I got on doctrine, I never really appreciated, not even close, eternal rewards. Now it's very real to me. It's very real to me. It wasn't in these churches and all this stuff. It was not real to me. It was just something off over, you know, rewards. Nothing made, you know. So what are you left with? And there are those who like to poo-hoo the idea. I don't want any rewards. I just want, you know, probably won't get any then. I mean, you have a bad attitude. What kind of a stupid person says that? You know? I don't want a promotion. I don't want any nice things. I just want to... I don't think a person like that's honest. I think they're playing games with us. See? So if you like nice things... And what normal person doesn't, and we all have different things that, you know, we like. Some people appear to be, you know, above all that, but they're not. Anyway, so we have now realized there's a whole group of things that are reserved for those who apply the truth. These things. You can do this every waking moment. You can produce SG3. Stay in fellowship. Ordinary chores. You're in fellowship. You get a reward for it. In addition to whatever benefits you get down here, you get a reward for it. Down here, you get a clean house, a clean car, because you worked and you got it all lined out. But you got a reward for it. And obviously these rewards are categorized according to various things. God will determine the thing to attach to it. It's just amazing and phenomenal that God's going to do this for us. He wants to do this for us. You want to do good things for you as a normal parent. You want to do good things at the right time for your children. If you're normal, not messed up, okay. So how much more for God? He is a giver, and he gives good gifts from the Father above. All good gifts come from the Father above. It's a gift. He gives it, starting with salvation and all the other stuff that we could just name one thing after another. For the things which are seen are temporal. That's the downside with the temporal. Okay? There's a downside. They're temporal. And they're subject to all kinds of things coming against them. Period. We know that. Even the world knows that, but they don't care. They're just going to... This is their happiness is built on things, and that includes a lot of stuff. See? But the things which are not seen are eternal. That's why the things which are not seen, which we don't get them until, like I said in this doctrine, until we get our resurrection body. You got to have the body to enjoy. You have this body to enjoy the things down here, right? So you're going to get the resurrection body to enjoy the eternal things. The mindset might be, well, how can some, this is so great and I like this so well, how can this beat that? Wait and see. It will run circles around it. There is no contest. Plus, it's eternal. And you're eternal. And you're not going to ever lose it. Nobody's going to steal it. And it will not fade into, oh, that's just boring now. It won't. I don't know how God works this, but that's where He's really going to show off with regard to us and the rewards we have in the eternal state. That's where He's really going to put on this display. Now, all this has been held back until the right time for the saints. So, our present sufferings, which is the basis for spiritual growth, developing capacity for God. Yeah, I'm going through this, but guess what? Lord's got it under control. Now, that you say, well, that's easy to say. Yeah, it's easy to say. But you can do it, too. You can arrive at that point. God's got this under control. I put this with God. I can't work this out. He's going to work it out. Well, if I do this, or if I do that, or all these mental gyrations. No. It's with God. He's a real person. He cares for us. He will not forsake us. Recognizing that He will take us through the fire. You've got to recognize He will take us through the fire. We've all, if we're around here, we're going to go through it. If you're, you know, in that connection, we have all our sufferings all together for Paul, and he would be one we would rely on. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Okay? The present sufferings are very real. They're very apparent. But they cannot compare to what we're going to step into. It's the promise of God. And our sufferings yield tremendous dividends beyond what any of us could think. Okay, this is also a point that I've made over and over again. When we get to the judgment seat of Christ, and for those of us in particular who get the prize, the ultimate reward, the ultimate reward is a finished course. Now, obviously, all this other SG3 is there too. So, if you end your phase 2 in good order, positive to doctrine, I didn't say how long you had to be under it. You just are under it. You didn't abandon it. You might have momentarily, but you came back. That's what we call recovery from a period of reversionism. And some people have that in their history. Solomon did. He was a pretty smart guy. But he was pretty stupid when he did what he did. But, you know, he came around. So, the glory that is to be revealed to us, That's wait for that. All those people in heaven, they get the idea. I mean, they're in an environment that's just, you know. So, the idea is that we are going to step into a situation where we are going to be able to celebrate it. Now, I skipped over the part describing our SG3. It's an inheritance. We all understand what an inheritance is. And the ones who make the will and set up the whole thing, parcel all this out, in this case, God to His children. It's an inheritance. And it is imperishable. Human inheritances come and go. Undefiled, there's no STA with this, unfading, guarded, or reserved in heaven for you. That's where it's at. Surpassing joy and celebration awaits those who receive full SG3 at the Bema Seat of Christ. 1 Peter 4:3. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, take some believer who really is under the gun, and share the sufferings of Christ, which we've been studying in Mark. Keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. Rejoice with exultation. In other words, celebration in a very demonstrative place, in a very demonstrative way. Jude 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. This indicates reversionism, and you've had but you got to be sensitive to this. God, don't let this be the day, don't let this be the time that I blow it. Because it can be just around any corner. I've seen, like I've said, I've seen enthusiastic, positive people sitting out there that have come and gone, right and left. I wish it wasn't the case, but I have no control over that, believe it or not. I have no control over it. That was their decision. They saw something, wanted something, whatever it was, out there. And to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. You get the blameless tag. That might sound like, well, I fail. No, you're blameless because in your failure, you use rebound. You do what you're supposed to do. Shame awaits the believer who fails to attain full SG3. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him. That's stay in fellowship. People that leave doctrine get out of fellowship and stay out. Period. I mean, they can say they're rebounding. What good's it doing them? They ain't make their way to Bible class. You know, they've abandoned the environment designed by God for the growth of positive volition. Now, little children, abide in him. Maintain the fellowship factor. That's what abide in him. That's John's language for being in fellowship. Abide in him. It isn't about stay saved. We don't have to do nothing to stay saved. Crying out loud. So that when he appears, we may have confidence. That's another aspect. We have the joy factor, the exaltation factor. When you get your resurrection body, and you got and all the doctrine and everything, when you stand there, you're going to be able to stand there with confidence. I did it right. You got the Holy Spirit. You got all this doctrine. You got your experience. You're not going to go, I wonder. This is right before the event. It's not like it's like an award ceremony where the person wonders if their name's going to be called to be the winner of whatever it is. No, you're going to stand there with confidence. Doctrine gives you confidence in time. A lot of people call it arrogance. It's not. It's confidence. We know people in life who have true confidence. They know what they're doing. See? There's quite a bit of difference between that and arrogance. Yeah, it might be a quiet confidence, but it's a confidence. You know, this is the truth. This, and I'm in the truth. And I'm a growing believer, and I've stuck with it. So you have confidence, and confidence there at the Bema, and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. That's going to be what millions of believers are going to do. They're going to shrink back in shame. Because once they're there, they're perfect. They got all the doctrine they rejected in time. It's all in front of them. And they're going to have a shame event at that judgment seat. Shame's going to be their lot. They could have, by the grace of God, had the same thing. They chose not to. So they are going to be embarrassed. They are going to be shame-faced. And then this whole event that rewards the rest of us, the few as it will turn out, who are in the high five exaltation mode because we did it right and God is displaying it to everybody, and the presence of the crown and the other factors indicate this person did it. This is the award ceremony you want to excel at, but you got to pay your dues. Period. And some of you, you've been paying your dues. It hasn't, quote, always been easy. Did I ever say it was always going to be easy? Easy street? The Christian way of life? Was it for Jesus? Was it for these people? No. But they stayed with the truth when things were good, so to speak, relatively speaking, and when things were bad. They didn't budge. They stayed in there. We don't know what I'll be thrown at you or thrown at me between now and then. We don't have to worry about it. We really don't have to worry about it. And now, the way people worry about what's coming around the next corner, and taking their pills and whatever they're doing. So two essential ingredients necessary for believers to earn SG3 are being in fellowship and the intake of Bible doctrine. Gap. John 15, cited it numerous times. This is the one I use to clear the air. Those who love God, those who love the Lord, are those who hear His words and do them. John 15, there, 1 through 8. All right, we have to use analogies. A grapevine. What's the idea? Producing clusters of grape. A product that can be used. And we're connected to Jesus Christ. I'm the true vine. Okay? And my Father is the vine dresser. The vines have to be tended. You can't just let them grow crazy. Every branch, there's the main stalk. The main vine stalk. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, divine good production, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Now, takes away, this has been a section used by people. If you're not going to produce, God's going to take away your salvation. No, it's something else. It's still a branch. It's still related to the vine. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it. Have you ever seen pictures or anything of vineyards where they prune the vineyard? They cut it back radically. It looks like, this is crazy. No, they know what they're doing. So that it may bear more fruit. For you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You're believers. And this breaks from this metaphor. It breaks from it. You're already clean. You're believers. Abide in me. That's the first thing. Be in fellowship. Abide in me. Stay in fellowship. And I in you. What's that? That's Bible doctrine in our souls. The Word of God and the truth in us is Christ in us, the hope of glory. One of the synonyms for Bible doctrine is Christ, the mind of Christ, I in you. So the extent you have doctrine in you, you have, if you're in fellowship, then you're going to be under gap and you're going to have Christ in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. You got to be in fellowship. I am the vine, you're the branches. Repeat, he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing that matters that cuts it with God. We should be preoccupied with accumulation of SG3. Again, we read that verse. We don't need to read the Corinthian one again. Colossians 3:3. You've heard this one. Set your mind on the things above. That's the kingdom of God. That's our country. That's where we're headed. Down here we're aliens. Set your mind on this. Realize that this is where the real wealth is. Not on the things that are on earth. Don't make this your mindset. This is a process. You've got to work at this. Because the world and your flesh and everything draws you to the things of the world. And in conclusion, therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil, and sometimes it's toil, it's hard work. You had a hard day today, maybe you really worked hard today. Toil. Knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us. In Christ's name, amen.